This is the closing market report for the ninth day of August 2013. On the phone line from Atchison, Kansas, at the offices of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, is Mike Zuzlo. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the marketplace. How did the beans perform, and what did their performance mean to you?
Well, beans performed great early on. It was after midday, Todd, they really gave up the ghost, and it seemed as though the midday weather pattern shifting a little bit more rain into southern Minnesota and Iowa, along with some failures at some technical resistance levels, probably were the major catalysts to the shift back, and that gave the August beans a daily range of a little over 25 cents, around 26 and a quarter cents. For so pretty exciting day in the bean market, and it turned exciting in the corn and wheat. Once the beans gave up, the corn and wheat resumed their downtrend, new 14-month lows in the wheat market, and the September corn took out its weekly low, pushing it down to levels not seen since October of 2010 again. So I think bottom lining it all out, without the beans able to support and be the catalyst for an upside push on pre-report jitters, the market turned and had bearish pre-report jitters with the corn and wheat leading the declines.
I made note in one of the emails that you sent out today, of course, that you talked to other farm broadcasters throughout the day on the radio, an Ohio farm broadcaster, and you had a discussion with him about, I think, an Ohio crop report.
So
folks made their way through the fields. What did it show?
Well, one of your colleagues in Ohio and another national farm broadcasting person, Ty Higgins, there at the Ohio AgNet, and his group with Dale Mignot and a couple other folks took
great
up.
Great guys in Ohio, by the way.
Yeah, that guy's from Ohio. People you know, maybe not the listeners, but they took up a tour, and this is the one they do annually,
mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised to hear him say that they could not do any better than average to above average when looking at corn. They go into very good detail on their website. They have a couple agronomists interviews on there. It sounds like gray leaf spot is a big issue. One agronomist also talked about later in the month, maybe within 2 weeks even, an SDS or sudden death syndrome breakout may be an issue in Ohio for the bean plants there. So I was astounded because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how big that Ohio crop's going to be and help offset the Iowa crop, and wanted to get that out to the clients and the subscribers to let them hear with their own ears so that they can get some good analysis and get a well-rounded analysis of boots on the ground. I think it's especially important as we segue into that Pro Farmer Tour next week as well.
Yeah, and the Pro Farmer Tour, by the way, we'll have updates from that each and every day during the closing market report. I'll collect those during the day from both the east and the west legs, and then we'll settle those out during the closing market report in the afternoon, so you can pick up kind of the latest of what they've been finding from both the east and the west side of the Corn Belt. Another item, and this came, I think, this came in from another broker. I saw saw the map, and it just reminded me, as you were mentioning Ohio and the corn crop, which is a pretty good sized corn crop. It's, I was thinking the sixth, but it is the seventh largest corn crop in the producing state in the nation. And South Dakota actually produces more corn than Ohio, which
right.
really threw me.
Right.
And by a couple hundred million bushels, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, that's right. You know, if you take Iowa and Minnesota, and obviously Illinois, and you add into that the Kansas, Ohio, Indiana, and South Dakota crops,
and
you're nearing 80% of the production or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So you've got a pretty concentrated area, even with this big of acres.
Right, right. So it's we usually talk about the five top corn-producing states in order. They're Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and then Indiana. Yeah. South Dakota and then Ohio are 6 and 7, but among those, that top 5, I think, actually produces, I was looking at that number, about 7.8 billion of the 14, 13 and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah, so, right around 50%.
Yeah. So there's a lot of corn in a lot of these states, and it'll be fun to watch and see what Chip and company find on the Pro Farmer Tour. But before we get to that, we have to get through the USDA reports on Monday, and I don't know whether the yield number, the acreage number for soybeans, or the WASD figures will be the most interesting of that whole set of reports that are due out at 11 o'clock, of course, on Monday morning, Mike.
I think the biggest issue will be, number one, do we have a 14 billion bushel crop or more in the August report? And then the trade will probably segue into the idea, if we do, it's going to only get bigger with more grain fill because of our recent weather. So I think that's probably top priority for the trade, especially the trade that has discounted the prices so aggressively. And like we've been talking about throughout the last few weeks, at a 450 Dease corn price, I think you're probably at a 2.2 billion bushel carryover as far as the elasticity model that I use. Number two, and it's not a distant second, it's right next to it, would be those bean acres, because the bean acres will translate back into the corn production, and whether the USDA shifts a lot of bean acres into beans out of corn, and then you'll get an idea also, I hope, of whether the soft red wheat delayed harvest in some areas did a job on not getting enough or as many double crop beans planted as well. So those are probably going to be the top two things to watch, and maybe a distant third will be the world wheat number. I don't think the market, at least the people I talked to the last couple weeks in Chicago and colleagues in the ethanol industry, not really thinking about the wheat hardly at all right now.
Hey, Mike, do you think, given what you just told me, that a 450 corn is a 2-2 carryout, that that's what the trade is at the moment, since
yes.
we're at 453 and a quarter?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
What? Okay, now the second question then, if that's truly the case, doesn't that seem like a pretty good price for a 2.2 billion bushel carryout?
Well, I think that's where it goes back to the world supply-demand and the stocks-to-use ratios when you add all total grains together. And I think that's where it goes back to why the corn has helped lead the wheat lower and why the wheat has helped lead the corn lower. And the tighter the global wheat numbers get, the less likely the U.S. average cash price needs to come down. So eventually those do matter. Those global numbers do matter. And so we are still going to be tight. And, you know, China's government came out today and did say they were going to, in fact, raise their imports of wheat, raise their imports of corn, not as much as USDA's July report, but we are seeing problematic areas of supply that, you know, would be maybe more non-traditional buyers, or when they do come in, it's pretty significant. So that's how I would equate that. And I think the other thing that I've looked at, Todd, is I've kind of thrown out the 2008-2009 time frame, especially 09, because of the fact that we were in the financial crisis, and I think all asset classes were being hit, and maybe the lower price in corn at that time was due in part to the financial crisis and the credit crisis. So 09 is kind of an anomaly year in my model.
All right. So when you look at that, you see those, was that the $3?
Yeah, back, 360, yeah. 340, yeah. Something, you know, right in that area.
So what are you throwing off? 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 cents? What are you throwing out of for that?
I'm sorry?
How much lower? I mean, do you think we're off then $1, $1.10, $1.20 then? From what we are today?
If we had a 2.2 billion bushel crop, that would put you at right at about a 420, 410 cash crop. And so I think that's where you're talking about 60 cents difference roughly compared
to $1. That's what I was trying to get at, right? Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay, so now let's do one last thing before I let you go. And then, of course, I've got you on Commodity Week. Thank you for being on that program, too. And we'll record at 4:30 this afternoon, post that to Will Ag at about 6. But I do want to take up the livestock sector. You and I talked a bit this morning about two things. Of course, we've got one item happening with the hogs and a second item happening with the cattle. One puts the livestock off feed, and one puts them, well, not quite off feed, but you got to give them more feed to get them to finish.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah, so
right.
It kind of a fun thing happening there, too. Well, not fun if you're in the midst of it, I'm sure. Right.
So, no, and this is where it goes back to the boxed beef prices and how they've been really languishing and not really, bids and offers can't come together, it seems like, this pretty much this whole summer. And the pork demand has been steadily increasing, and the supply has been steadily either steady or dropping a little bit, and we're starting to get into this time period where the market-ready hogs will be probably affected by the PED virus from several months ago. And one of the clients that I spoke with today had talked to his veterinarian about the PED virus in particular, especially in light of Tyson coming out and saying we're not going to take Zilmax-fed cattle anymore. It goes back to the PED virus probably is just in a remission, and that in the wintertime that may very much come back. And so I think you really have an issue with your supply side, a very big question mark. And how I translate that in the analytical world and when it comes to what I deal with the clients on is, if I hedge $100 hogs, which are a good price, I'm not going to do anything in futures. I'm going to stick with known cost puts because there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty after this week on what the supply of both cattle and hogs are coming by the time we get to the holidays.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you. Talk to you later, sir.
I'm Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas.